بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Love for position or for name has been declared as the challenge. You have an examination, and an examination is a challenge. So Allah Ta'ala has in advance shown us what is the challenge, so that it becomes easy for us to identify, okay, this is the challenge, and we'll have to take care of this, not for 1 second, not for 1 moment, till your last breath. In the words of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, agar farishte bhi ye ho jaye, usse badgumaan rehna. Right to the last breath, if your soul became so disciplined, it became disciplined as the discipline of an angel, then too you need to be holding it with suspect. You don't know when it can fire against you. When it can turn back against you, you do not know. You're trying, and you're disciplining yourself, you're correcting yourself, and you're moving forward. And where that nafs turns around and turns against you, its nature is unpredictable. Before, they used to have this circus here, you see, in the old days. And one of the things that they would show, the man had trained his lion. He trained it from child, from birth, brought it right to adulthood, and he would put his whole mouth into that thing's mouth. So it would be like a breathtaking silence, you know. You hold your breath when you see that. So that used to be something to be seen. But that thing, something went to its mind, and when he put his mouth, and he put his head into that thing's mouth, that thing just clenched him, finished. But they shot him dead, but he died as well. So this is the nature of nafs, that it will go well with you, but when and how it will turn back against you, that only Allah Pak knows. So you can't be at any time be complacent against it. And you have to hold it in suspect all the time. If you don't hold others in suspect, it's all right. It's not a sin. We didn't hold them in suspect. We have no suspicions against them, so it's all right. Even though they were wrong, but you had no suspicion against them, so you won't get a sin for that. In spite of the fact that they were wrong, but you didn't have any suspicion against them, so there is no guna for that. But if you had suspicion about them, and they turned out to be innocent, then you had it. You were in problems. So the simple thing is that don't have any suspicions against people. If they are wrong, and you didn't have any suspicion, then Allah Ta'ala will sort them out. But if they were right and you had suspicion against them, then you put yourself in problem. So because of him, why must you get into trouble? Is that making sense? Because of that person's wrong, now you are getting yourself into problems. So where's the sense in that? Where's the logic? So the sensible thing to do is to hold yourself in suspicion at any time. You don't know when that nafs will just come and strike. Right. You said to yourself, all right, you know, there's a girl that is there on the road, and you know, she's battling, she's struggling, and she needs a lift. Poor little thing now, you know, she's stranded. So, the feature, the aspect of nafs also featured in your mind. You know, the nafs can also overcome, nafs can have the better over me. But then you overrule that, and you took her into the car. Now there will be 101 thoughts playing in your mind. And nowadays, the same problem occurs with the phone, right? So that feature is there. No matter what you see, but that feature of slipping into haram is there. Possibility there is there, the feature is there. And within a second, within a minute, you can just fall into it. It's so near. It's just knocking a door, just pressing a button and you are there already. So the feature of slipping into haram is there already. So can you be complacent about yourself, I will not fall into this. When that feature is already there, I'm very disciplined, I'm a good boy, I'm a good person, and I don't do these type of things. Can you just make yourself feel complacent and allow this to be there? Because you do not know, one day something may just snap. It may just snap and say, let me just go and see the thing. All what ibadat that you did in the month of Ramadan, all got wiped out. It's so easy to slip into the wrong, it's so easy. So then every person has to be monitoring himself. Okay, it's your life, you're going to sleep in your cover. There you can't put up excuses before Munkar and Nakir. I just slipped in and it was unintentional. You can't put up all these type of excuses. Why did you carry the thing first? When you know that the nature of your nafs is unpredictable. When it's going to turn out against you, you don't know. You don't know. And it is in its nature to turn around, to attack you, and catch you unawares. It's within its nature. So why did you go into that? So each person will have to monitor himself. Okay, have I got this? And if I got this, then is the possibility of me falling into these things, is it there or not? Or is it remote? If it's remote, how remote is it? So the simpler thing that we can do is one of two things. Either we have a phone without any features, no features. Just have a basic phone, absolutely no feature, though it may be even more costly to keep that type of a phone. Right? But keep that phone. It's cheaper for your iman. It's cheaper that for your iman and for your own deen. Because like I said in the morning, iman and shamelessness, lewdness, shamelessness, immodesty or immorality, they go together. The moment that immodesty came in, and your iman is smashed down. So your iman is on the block. So now, how much you need to look after your iman? Because iman and immodesty, they go together. Modesty go together. When iman and modesty, shame go together, if that modesty is gone, then the iman is gone. Khalas. There's no defense left. Now, it's like that person riding a motorcycle. He doesn't have any defense. He's driving at a speed, but he's got no defense. If something crashes onto him or he crashes, full on, head on. No defense he's got. So either you have a phone without any feature, or if you have this type of phone with all that type of features, then tell your nearest and dearest ones, your sons, your children, your daughter, your wife, all of them must monitor this phone. See the passcode, see the secret word, see my computer, monitor it all the time. So now, if you don't have sufficient fear of Allah Ta'ala, at least we'll have the concern that these people are watching. My son is watching, my daughter is watching, my wife is watching, my mother is seeing, right? Everybody is seeing where I went through. Right. The friends I've got, who I'm talking to, who I'm chatting to, and the chat rooms, and whatever other sites are that I'm going through, they're going to see everything. So now, you're going to make it very difficult for you to get into it. So that's worth the while, right? Because you're being fair to yourself. Otherwise, you're not being fair to yourself. Say, no, I just slipped in. Made a mistake. I just slipped in. Right. The same applies to having that musical feature. It's another thing. Now it's become such, the one of the challenges of this zamana, again, is that we don't consider a sin as a sin. Some great awliya were explaining that one of the reasons why many people get robbed of their faith at the end is they don't consider the sin as a sin. You committing a sin, the least degree was to recognize that sin. That was in the least. Now you don't recognize the sin as a sin. You're listening to a musical tone. And you say, no, it's just a tone. It's just a dial. It's just a ring. So you denying that being haram, being impermissible. And sometimes it happens, okay, Ramadan now, some masjid, and that ring dial went, and the musical tone went right through the namaz, the first rakat right to the end. Trying to put it off, it's coming up again. Switch it off and put it. Now, by, is that not pure inconsideration for the rest of the masjid? Is that not disrespect for the entire masjid? See? So you, that means we have got no consideration. Your consideration is absolutely dead. You don't worry about anybody. What happens to your phone, how is disturbing the others, you're not concerned. No, I must be comfortable. So, if it's a musical thing, or it's something distracting, something that is distracting, we need to be careful about it. Very, very careful about it. Are we hurting anybody else in the process? Even though it may be some jais thing, permissible thing, or some naat or something, right? Then is it distracting someone else? In namaz, I'm going to bring it. Am I a responsible person? If I'm not a responsible person, just leave it in the car. If it gets stolen, bad luck. But that's cheaper than causing pain to someone else. You coming to the masjid, and coming to the masjid for gaining the blessings of Allah Ta'ala or to lose out. If we are hurting someone, are we gaining or are we losing? Ask ourselves. If we are hurting someone, then are we losing or are we gaining? They say, man shagala dha shughlin, man shagala dha shughlin min shughlihi adrakahu al-maqtu fil waqt. A'udhu billah. Man shagala dha shughlin an shughlihi adrakahu al-maqtu fil waqt. Someone is in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and you disrupted him. In the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And you disrupted him. So Allah Ta'ala's wrath will come to you straight away. أَدْرَكَهُ الْمَقْتُ فِي الْوَقْتِ Straight away will get you. So what a serious thing is. One is that we not even considerate to the brother that is around. One is the musical tone. One it is the house of Allah Ta'ala. Like you coming into a courtroom, right? And you coming into a courtroom, you're blazing your gun to everybody. What a serious offense. It makes that offense even more serious. It makes you a more serious criminal. You got a blunt gun and you're showing everybody. You're scaring people away. So how frightening this guna is. So we are talking about the challenges that we have got. The two main challenges we have got as we come into this world is inordinate love for wealth and for position. Right? When I say inordinate, in other words, that which is beyond the parameters of deen. Now, you have come into this world with these problems. It's not that it has come to you, it has come to you coincidentally. No, these challenges are in the world. They are in your nature, in your makeup, it's there. But Allah Pak is going to watch how do you fare in the face of these challenges. When these challenges are going to come up, then how are you going to behave? How are you going to conduct yourself? Sometimes it's going to be a woman, sometimes it's going to be something to do with position and name. Sometimes it's name, sometimes it's woman. So these two things are going to come. Sometimes it's wealth, sometimes it's position, sometimes it's woman. So these challenges are going to come all the time. There's not going to be a person who's going to be spared. He's going to get through these challenges. Every person has to go through it. It's name, then I say it's wealth, and it's woman, right? These three things are going to come all the time. So then how are you going to fare in the face of these challenges, right? I say these things are natural, right? These things, you won't say it's unnatural, it's natural. It's within your tabiat. See, some people say that the first guna that was committed in the heavens and the earth was jealousy. But I think it's a mistake. The first guna was pride. The first guna was pride. Aba was takbara, right? When he denied, and the reason for his denial was pride, right? And after that pride was the catalyst to jealousy. See now, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَغْوِيَنَّمْ I'll fix them up. See, because of these people, I got misled. Because of these people, I got thrown out, right? So I'll fix them up. Right? Now, that jealousy had to surface at some point. I didn't get that position. He got that position. When he got that position, so I must fix him up. That if I got left out, then he must get left out as well. If I got problems, then he must get problems. See? So where is this thing coming from? It's coming from jealousy. It's sprouting out from jealousy. So that was the first thing. From pride, it went on to jealousy. And that pride is the same thing, recognition. You want to be identified. You want people to talk about you. You want some type of... that you must be distinguished. Amongst the whole people, amongst the rest of the crowd, you must be distinguished. People must talk about you. Whether it's a bayan, whether it's a qirat, whether it's wealth, whether it's some generosity, some act of bravery. Whatever it is, but you want some type of name. Some type of recognition. So this thing is going to come all the time. At no time is not going to. Can you say that it's not going to come? It's going to come. So how are you going to conduct yourself in the face of all these challenges? Right. So sometimes it is wealth, sometimes it is woman, and sometimes it is position. So these three challenges are going to come all the time. No person has been spared, and you will not be spared. So this is a challenge. In advance, they're telling you that this is a challenge. And as I say, beyond this was that pride and arrogance. This was, you can say, like the root. The greater root was this aspect of pride and arrogance. Right? What had smashed Shaitan down was the same arrogance. And it brought him to jealousy. Right? Then you see the children of Adam alayhi salam, Ibnay Adama. Right? The thing that brought them down again was this jealousy. But the jealousy was sort of prompted by pride. It was prompted up by pride. So this person is saying, why is it that he is superior in that respect? In some respect, why is he superior than me? Whatever the story was, but why is he more superior? Why has he got an additional favor than myself? So I'll fix him up. Why? Just because he had something that this person didn't get. He's got something additional to him. So why did he get this? Why didn't I get it? Because he got it and I didn't get it, so therefore I'm jealous about him. So he mustn't have it. If I don't have it, he mustn't have it as well. Why has he got it? Therefore, our Buzuganadin used to say, this jealousy has become so common, that if you got a gift and you got some blessing, then don't advertise it amongst people. That's the better thing. Because you can control yourself, but you can't control people's feelings. Your own feelings you can subdue, you can suppress, you can control. But others, can you control them? Can you suppress them? Sometimes it is that, you know, we don't behave correctly. Now there is a bribe, for example, right? The better thing is to do the bribe quietly. Don't let people know about it. And if it is that, you know, in spite of you trying, still people will get to know about it, then at least those people that are around your home, give them something. Your neighbors, whether they be wealthy or poor, but give them something. Because the moment that thing goes on, then everybody gets tempted. Whether they had meals or they didn't have meals, but these people will get tempted. So, the temptation, how are you going to do? How are you going to get away with the temptation? So either you do it quietly, or those people that are around you, then at least pass on some pieces to them. So they feel, alright, we have got a share of this whole thing as well. And they feel comfortable within themselves. So you don't allow them to have an opportunity of becoming jealous. Don't give them a chance to become jealous. You avoid that situation. Don't give them the chance. But now you must show it to someone. You know, like how little children, how they behave now. I got a chocolate, so I won't feel nice until I don't show you. See, I got a chocolate. I must go and show it to the second child. So the elders acting the same way, you know. I got a car, so I must show that person I got a Porsche. I must show that person I got this thing here. So it's human nature, human behavior. The child also behaves the same way, and you also behaving the same way. Is there any difference? I must impress. Right. So this three challenges that I spoke about is going to be with us all the time. There isn't going to be a period of time. There isn't going to be a day where we will be free of these things here. We'll have to face this thing here, and we'll have to learn how to behave ourselves in the face of these challenges. Look at an election period, right? Just want to show you election period. You know, we talk about pride and arrogance and we think it's a small thing, right? But the fight is for that recognition. This party is fighting, I must be recognized, I must come out, right? He's fighting for the same thing, right? But in the struggle, what troubles don't go on? Fighting goes on. Killing goes on. Bribery goes on. Murdering goes on. Everything. False promises, lies. See, don't we see these things? We see all that. But what is the catalyst in all this? The catalyst is the same thing. Arrogance, pride. That I must come up. If I'll come up, I'll get that name. I'll get that money, see? Wealth and name. I'll get that wealth. I'll get that name. So, in order to secure that wealth and that name, I'll do everything. Everything. Whatever it takes me to get up there, I'll do it. To kill someone, I'll do it. To rob someone, I will do it. To speak a lie, I will do it. To betray some trust, I will do it. Everything I will do, just so that I could secure that position. See. So these two brothers, you see, they are fighting just because of that. Why was he favored? Why wasn't I favored? Right. So his brother is explaining to him, the brother that is being killed, right? The one upon whom the oppression is being done, the one who is on the receiving end, he is being oppressed. What is he saying? He says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He says, see, the criteria, the standard by Allah Ta'ala is, Allah Ta'ala accepts on the basis of taqwa. If you have taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will accept you. If I have taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will accept me. Right? If you want some progress, you want some acceptance by Allah Ta'ala, then this is the basis. As far as the acceptance that you want, this is acceptance in your eyes, not in Allah Pak's eyes. So why go for this? It's just a short period. It's just going to be impressing to yourself. It's not going to be acceptable in Allah Pak's eyes. So why go for something like this? That is short-lived. It's going to be only dazzling in your eyes. It's going to be attractive to your eyes. In the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, it doesn't mean anything. So why go towards it? So he tells him the standard also. He advises him, admonishes, my brother, my blood, when it's my brother and my blood, then I need to advise him. Right? Again, you cross again and you come to Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? So the same thing happens there again. Okay, why was this person favored over us? The father also tells him, لَا تَخْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدَ. They'll become envious. Because they are in the family of Nabi, the family of a Nabi. When they're in the family of the Nabi, they will know that this dream, what it relates to, what does it mean. They know what it refers to. When they know what it refers to, they will come to that conclusion that this person is going to be honored and favored above us. When they're going to be favored above us, then they will conspire against you. Okay, this child here, why is he being favored over us? See this sickness, this illness, from small to big, it must come to every person. Okay, why is this person favored? Why am I left out? Why is he favored? Why has he got this? Why don't I have it? So the brother is saying, Habil is saying, Qabil, bhai, the standard by Allah Ta'ala is taqwa. So forget all this attraction, name, position, recognition. Forget all that. Ask yourself, what is the standard where I'll get the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala? The acceptance of Allah Ta'ala comes only with taqwa. You got that, you are winning. I got that, I am winning. So you worried about this, that is just a short period. It's just a temporary period. It's a fleeting life. The short period, perhaps you'll get something, but it's the end of it after that. So why go for something that is short-lived? Go for something that is lasting. Go for something that is permanent. And these things won't happen in this world. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. There's going to be these changes in this world. There's going to be these fluctuations in the world. Allah says it himself. He made this step. وَجَعَلَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. One person is above the other person. This world is going to carry on like this. There's not going to be a period in time where everybody is going to be identical and the same. Musa alayhi salam saw this type of variances, you know. One person is so wealthy, he can feed a million people. And one person is so poor, he can't feed himself. So he says to Allah Ta'ala, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, but all these type of differences and variances, why isn't it that everybody be identical and one and the same?" He's making dua, not make everybody same, you know, that everybody can enjoy. Alright? Allah Pak accept his dua. He accepted his dua now. After some time, now he needed to get a carpenter to fix his door. So the village carpenter, he went up to him, "Come and fix my door. But up till yesterday, I would have done the job for you, but now I don't need to do the job for you because I'm identical to you in every respect. In wealth, I'm like you. In profession and in intelligence, everything, I'm like you. I'm identical in every respect. What you have got, I have got. So why must I be working for you? I can only work for you, right, if I consider you to be my superior, I'm getting something from you. But in every respect, we are identical. You got something, I got the same thing. So is there any need for me to work for you? No need for me to work for you. Right. You can only subdue the person if you got something that he doesn't have. But both of you all are identical in every respect. Now, can you subdue the person? You can't. Some person comes and tells you, "Come and clean my garden." Are you prepared to do it? You don't want to subdue yourself. So, no, I got a garden. I'm quite comfortable. Why must I come and work for you? Why must I listen to your stories? I don't need to work for you. So, you can't extract work from anybody. When you can't extract work from anybody, this world has been designed that one person is dependent on the other, right? For masla masail, you need an alim, right? For a profession or something, you need to go to a school, university. See, there's dependence, right? You got a health problem, you have to go to a doctor. You got an accounting problem, you have to go to an accountant. Building, you have to go to an architect or an engineer. So, this type of a dependence, Allah Ta'ala has created this whole world with this dependence. So you don't want to avoid it. Now these fluctuations are going to take place. So if someone is going to be favored over me, let it happen. Because this is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. When it's the plan of Allah Ta'ala, then it must happen. You can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. When it's unavoidable, then why must I make it as my problem? Because Allah Pak has designed the world like this. When He's designed the world, one is going to be superior to the other. There are going to be this type of fluctuations. You're not going to avoid these fluctuations. They are going to be there. I need to see are my needs being fulfilled. My needs are fulfilled. I'm comfortable. I'm well off. See? I keep in my view that are my needs fulfilled. Not that why has he got this and I don't have it. Why did this person enjoy this much and I'm not enjoying it. I don't keep that in my view. Otherwise it will be like that donkey going around that carrot, you know. One carrot is presented before you. So you're running after that. Then someone will show you another carrot, you're running after that. And then you die just running around the carrot. There's no greater goal for you. Whereas Allah Pak says there's a greater goal for you. وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Your goal is something else. It's not for you to run around this. So Allah Ta'ala designed our minds with this type of a challenge, with this type of a test. That you will have زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرِ. So, it's within your nature. It's within your nature. You will have a liking for this. You will have a craving for all this. Whether it's woman, whether it's wealth, whether it's recognition. You will have a liking for all these things here. But that's going to be your test. That's your trial. Now someone may ask, then why did Allah create this trial? So the simple answer is, then when there's not going to be a trial, then how can you win then? You can only win if there was a trial. If there's no trial, then how can you win? You don't have a marathon, so is there any reason for him to be winning? No, he's got a prize. Is there any reason for him to? So there must be a trial for you to win. If there's no trial, then how are you going to win? Why should you win? Why should you get an additional reward? You'll get an additional reward if there was a trial. There was an examination. There was an examination in place, now you're getting a reward for it. But there is no trial at all, no examination. What's the reason for you to get rewarded like this? So Allah Ta'ala has created this in your tabiat to try, to compete. But compete for what? For the right things. See, whenever Allah speaks about the world, then He speaks about the akhirat. First He'll speak about the world. Hayatul dunya zinatum walahum watakathurun fil amwali wal awlad, right? All that He'll speak about the world. And then after that, what He says? Sabiqu ila maghfiratin. Then He says, well, compete. Towards the right goals you compete. I'm showing what is the world, and I'm showing you how it's designed, how it's short-lived, so don't hanker around it. Don't go behind it. Don't go behind that. Don't make your goal. Don't make that your goal. If you make that your goal, you're going to lose out. You see? And how you make out the goal, a simple way to make out the goal, when someone dies, right? At that spot that he died now, you witnessing the janazah, so will you speak, hey, but this person had a very beautiful car, man. What a beautiful car. Will you say that? Hey, so good food he used to eat. You know, where his food used to come from. Will you talk about that? Hey, his house, look how beautiful his house is, man. One of its kind. Look at the tiles in the toilet and all that. Man. Will you talk about that? At that point in time, will you talk about that? You won't talk about that. So you understand that this is fleeting beauty. It's beauty, but it is just for the eyes. Short-lived. Because at that moment, nobody talks about it. If there's anything that people want to speak about that, hey, but he was a good man, eh? He was very punctual in his namaz, man. You should see him the first serve, you know. And he was a very kind person, you know. If anybody was in problem, then he was there to help out. So at that moment, what do people talk about? They talk about his works of righteousness. They don't talk about these things. So that means that this is not a standard. If it was a standard, they would have spoken about it. Why don't they speak about it then? Now when the dust has settled, then they'll speak about it. When that grief and all has settled, then a lot of money he left. But now he doesn't know that he left that money, but he left fights with it also. If he left money, then there's fights. There's so much of problems going on with that wealth. Now the brothers can't see eye to eye, cousins can't see eye to eye, why? Because of that wealth. So, the one brother is explaining the other brother by the standard by Allah Ta'ala is إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. This is not the standard, is not the goal, you're missing the point. You're missing the point, so go to the right ends, go to the right goal. You're going in this direction, you're going in the wrong direction. Now people say, no, if you can't beat the person, then join the person. What they say? You can't beat the person, then join the person. Now I ask you, is this logical or illogical? What is the proof that is illogical? Right? If Liverpool is versing, what? What's the other team? Huh? What do you get this? Huh? Manchester, yeah. Nasir is the right person for this. Right? Now, if Liverpool is winning, is it right for Manchester to go and join Liverpool? So they win, let me join them, help them to score the goal. Is that the right thing? Say, what a stupid this person is. They're let down. Won't you say that? You know, that principle is completely flawed. That if you can't win them, then go and join them. But look for your own goal. There's your goal, you look for your goal. Now you get all these type of stupid people giving stupid ideas. Then we're going to adopt them and say, no, you can't win them, you must join them. Who said that? No, they told them. You can't win them, you must go and join them. So, you got something in your mind, you made that your goal. So, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Keep that in mind. That, see, in this whole equation, in this whole struggle, after everything is said and done, mouth is a reality, I need to win this race. And what is the principles for winning? What is the standard for winning? The standard for winning is taqwa. Simple. And what is taqwa? The essence of taqwa is Allah Pak mustn't be displeased with me. Whatever I'm doing, Allah Pak mustn't be displeased with me. That's the principle, that's the whole definition of taqwa. So it mustn't, let it not be that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with me for any reason. Anything that is apparent, anything that is concealed, anything that I can see, anything I can't see, But for some reason or the other, Allah Pak is displeased with me. I don't want that to happen. I'll be losing this whole, the whole race I'll be losing. It's not from the marathon and I'm running. Now they'll disqualify me. They'll disqualify me. Say I joined the marathon, right? And I did something, they disqualified me. Now can I join? I can't join again. I went 10 kilometers, then secretly I took another route and I jumped in one car, traveled 50 kilometers, won the marathon. What will happen, right? They'll disqualify you. Obviously they'll disqualify you. Right. So we don't want to get disqualified by Allah Ta'ala. Now here in the marathon, if you lose, or you lose, then you can still try the next year. Next year, maybe after two, three years, they'll allow you to come in again. But by Allah Ta'ala, if you're disqualified, you're gone. You're gone. إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. At that time, when you see that with your eyes, you see it clearly with your eyes. What's your abode? What you've been working for? Now you're saying, Allah Ta'ala, now I see it. Now I know it. Now I know it. I've seen it with my own eyes. أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا. Now I've seen it with my own eyes. So just let me go back and I will compensate for all the loss. فَرْجِعْنَا عَنْ عَمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنٌ. Now I understand, now I believe. Just give me one opportunity to come, to go back. Now you don't ever hear that. حَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. That when any person goes through death, you don't see that process being reversed. He's being brought back to life. You see that happening. So it's just one chance. You don't get a second chance. In races and competitions, etc., you may get a second chance. Here it's just one chance. So you can't play around. You can't mess around with your life. In things that are pertaining to the hereafter, you can't play around. So Allah Pak is telling you, this is a challenge. This is the team that you're going to be versing. The team that you're going to be versing, there are three members there. Pride, wealth and woman. These are the three members that you're going to be versing all the time. So you played very well. You have to go and explore your goals. This is going to come on the way. No matter what you do, even right till the other parlor, right till the end, right till you have scored, and right till the end of the match, they will be there. Right till the end of the match. Hazrat's words were, Farishta bhiye ho jaye, usse badguma hona. At the end also, that thing, your nafs became so disciplined like a farishta, then too you remain suspicious. You have suspicions against others, you can be sinful. But you have suspicions about yourself, you're going on the right. This is the essence of taqwa, that you always be suspicious about yourself. I don't know, I think I messed up here. My intention is not right here. I didn't do it correctly here. I supposed to be doing it in this way. If there's a problem, perhaps I was wrong. So look at it from that dimension, that perhaps I have done something incorrectly, not that that person has done it incorrectly. So when you're going to look at it from that dimension, that perhaps I did this wrong, I did that wrong, right? You cover up all your mistakes, you cover it up. You cover up all your mistakes. This lesson, if you learned this lesson, I think we have earned more than what we bargained for in i'tikaf. That إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say that if Allah Ta'ala were to tell me that this one rakat or two rakats of yours is accepted, then I don't mind giving away all my life and everything for that. Because if Allah Ta'ala accepts something, then he won't reject it. Once he's accepted it, then it's accepted, finished, it's gone. If I only hear that Allah accepted this of mine, then I don't mind giving my whole life, my wealth and everything. That Allah accepted it, now when he accepts it, there can't be any reverse to it. So try for that, for their acceptance. And remember, these are the challenges. These challenges will be with you right till the time that you are leaving this world. Don't think that you are very disciplined, you're very righteous. These things are not going to come in the future. They're not going to come and haunt you. They're going to come and haunt you right till the end. So keep protecting the intention. That is it pride? Is it vanity, pride? Is it arrogance? Is it that my intention is incorrect or correct? So keep checking yourself. And then move ahead. Keep checking yourself and move ahead. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.